You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, Kings fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor, it's totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Everybody, what is going on?
It's trade deadline eve. The trades are coming.
What's up, Kiffin? What's
up, buddy? Making young Kings fans food.
That's right. There you go. So for everybody joining in, this will be, I believe, the first time I've done this. I think we tried doing one of these a little bit ago. Pretty much super informal. Let's just talk some Kings hockey. Why not? It's got some good stuff going on. It's been a roller coaster type of year for the Kings, I would say. Pretty good start opening night, and then 1-5-1 start to the season. And ever since then, it's been a roller coaster ride. And the last week has kind of been on a downturn, but we'll make it through. We'll make it through. And today's been
I like the Troy Stetcher deal for today. And I've been watching and a little concerned. Depleting the blue line is the absolute way to get people worried. But I think Kings Twitter is ablaze with hot takes, and that 1-5-1 start was concerning. I think it's gonna be interesting. I'd like to hear from other people what they think, but I feel like I'm one of the people definitely who has gotten into the let's buy mode because we're doing so well. And now that we're here at the deadline, I'm starting to go, well, you know, honestly, maybe not. So,
yeah, for sure. I think you're definitely not in the minority there. I'm pretty sure every Kings fan kind of just watching the team as a whole play since the start of 2022 is where they really kind of been on the upturn, has really shown that they're able to be a playoff team and a playoff contender really going into the end of the season. And then all of a sudden injuries happen and you see a deal like the Troy Stetcher deal. We'll get into that later on. But just to kind of go over what I'm pretty much expecting or what I expect from this Twitter space is super informal. I want to open up the floor. So anybody that wants to talk, anybody that has a question about anything, wants to ask me a question, wants to ask Kiffin, we'll have other hockey royalty fellers on. Just go ahead and hit me up. I'll open the floor, let you speak. I'm always open to anyone's opinion. That's how I am on Twitter. You guys know how I am. I'll answer whatever you guys got going on. But yeah, that's starting off with the Troy Stetcher deal. Let's talk about that. I guess it was really kind of something that's not really surprising with how the Kings have – what's going on with the Kings the last week and a half or so. We all know about all the injuries that's been going on that's plagued the Kings roster. So this move kind of – it really is kind of unfortunate because you look at it and you're like, okay, Drew Doughty is probably going to be out a little bit longer than we expected. And I kind of had that feeling. I was at the practice. The practice they came back from their previous road trip, I think in Boston, where he got hurt. I was at that practice and I was watching him skate around and I was just looking at him. And you can just tell that something was off with his hand. And sure, no, it wasn't a surprise that we wasn't practicing. Everybody kind of knew he got hurt. But I can just tell it was just really like he was trying to use it almost as like maybe the training staff maybe told him like, hey, like just go easy on it. We're going to hold you off this probably in the next game or two. But just go easy on it. We'll let you skate. But trying to tease it. And you can tell like Drew Doughty is Drew Doughty. You're going to try to tell him to kind of – take it easy a bit, but he's going to want to go all out, even if it's just a little practice. So when I was watching him practice and I just saw that he was trying to give it a little bit more throughout the time of the skate, and he just couldn't do it. So to see this stretcher deal come in, it just kind of signifies that he's probably going to be expected to be out a little bit longer. So that's a little bit of a downfall there, or kind of concerning. But just to talk about Troy Stetcher and what I think he brings to this team. I mean, it's looking back at it from his time when he was in Vancouver. I mean, he and Alex Edler pretty much were kind of buddy-buddy when they were playing together on the ice. So now that you have Edler coming back from an injury, you bring in some familiarity for him with Troy Stetcher coming in. That's only going to pretty much help elevate both their games. I mean, Troy Stetcher, he doesn't have a lot of offensive flair to his game, it seems like, but he has a little bit. And I think that's something that can here's my boy Pavel. I know he's got a little bit more insight. He's the one who wrote the article at Hockey Royalty. I'll let him dive a little bit more into the Stetcher deal. But yeah, just to kind of finish up my thoughts on it, I just think it's a good move, and it's a depth move that the Kings really need, because I mean, you look at players like Jordan Spence and Christian Molinen and Austin Strand, what they've been able to bring as more of like just filler pieces for the time being. I mean, Jordan Spence, just to kind of go over his game. I mean, he's going to be a stud in the NHL. I mean, he's offensive threat. He's just for him to get these couple of games in the NHL. I mean, out of nowhere and unexpectedly is really going to help his development. And he's for someone who's not really expected to come and make a jump with the Kings or make an impact with the Kings, I think it's been good for him to get these games. But to have Troy Stetcher come in, who's that veteran presence, is only going to help even more. Pavel, do you want to dive into that a little bit more on what you think Troy Stetcher brings to the team?
I'm so ready to hear this.
Buddy? So I personally love the Troy Stetcher acquisition. I think with the injury bug that's hit the Kings, it's very important to bring in defensive depth, and especially you've seen it in recent games, but the defensive structure has completely fallen apart left and right, front center. So bringing in a guy who's defense first, especially the last couple of years with Detroit here, it's really important. And I mean, you know, there's so much to say about Troy Stetcher, good and bad, obviously. There's a reason why he didn't go for a first-round pick and he went for a seventh. But I think one of the biggest parts about him going for a seventh was because of his injury, which caused him to miss a few months. And he's only played 16 games this year, only one goal, one assist. But he's played a really good game this year. I mean, last year he had 4.5 goals above replacement, 0.8 wins above replacement, which is – it was pretty good for a defenseman who was supposed to be making $1.7 million. He draws penalties often, which is something noticeable because of his 5'10 figure. I mean, you see him at 5'10 and you think, you know, he's a short guy. He's not going to achieve too much. But, you know, I don't think you should underestimate this guy. I mean, he's 5'10". He's not going to lay a hit. He's not going to make a big, you know, big hit or drop the gloves or anything like that. But he's really strong on the puck. He's never afraid to match up with bigger players, with guys that are like 6'5", 6'4". He's great in front of the net, especially with his matchups and everything like that. And this year, he's seventh on the Red Wings in Corsi with minus 0.27, which on a depleting team like that is pretty good. He's got the highest isolated blocks per 60 on the entire Red Wings with 3.52. You know, when it comes to penalty killing, I think he's gotten a shot on the penalty kill with the Red Wings this year and last year. But, I mean, try him on the penalty kill if you'd like, but if it doesn't work, it's fine. He's not really a penalty killer. He's just a good defensive defenseman, like a depth, you know, 6-7 player. As I mentioned, he matches up with big players well. He's never afraid to go against the big guy. He's never afraid to go into the corners for a battle. He's just, for his 5'10 figure, he's really strong, and he's really, really strong. And the best thing about him is that his stick in the defensive zone is always active. He's always looking for lanes to cover. He's always looking to make a poke check, and having a good defensive stick is always important for a guy like him. You know, a guy that can't really make a big hit or stand up for the goalie or whatever like that. But that's the best part about having an active stick, is just making sure that he's got the offensive side covered. And he's always looking to, you know, take away other passes and make that defensive play.
So we're talking Norris Trophy, right?
The way I described him, yeah. But he's still got a few issues. His offensive game really struggles. He doesn't score as much as he needs to. He shoots the puck a lot, but it doesn't always go in. Obviously, offensive positioning is quite an issue. He's never in the right position to make that play. You saw how crafty he is, though. Like that goal he scored for Team Canada where he went through the legs and made that pass. We haven't seen much of that from the NHL. We haven't seen him, you know, try something creative like that in the big leagues. And I don't know if it's just something with his confidence that's off or an issue like that, but it's definitely something that he needs to work on. And I think that's why he went for so low, is just because he generates so little in the offensive zone.
Okay, that all sounds pretty good, and it's really something that the Kings are kind of lacking. I see so there's a couple people that are requesting to talk. Yeah, we'll get to you in just a second. Just to kind of finish up my thoughts on Stetcher, I was really trying to think about other things that maybe he can kind of bring to the team, as opposed to just maybe some continuity being paired with Alex Edler. But I brought up his penalty kill stats. During his last 2 years from 2017 to 2019 in Vancouver, and it looks like he averaged about .130 time on ice per game shorthanded. So I'm not sure. I don't have the stats. I'd have to look up the stats even more in terms of how he was on the penalty kill, but it looks like he does have some experience killing some penalties when he was with Vancouver, and I'm sure a lot of that was probably with Alex Edler. So maybe you have some chemistry there that's really going to have to help out the penalty kill, because we all know how bad the penalty kill is right now for the Kings. I mean, special teams all as a whole is just ridiculous at this point. It's just not surprising how bad they've been at each passing game right now. So hopefully he can help right there.
And they played together. They for 3 out of 4 years in Vancouver, Edler played with Stetcher on the lineup, including in their 2020 playoff run, which saw them lose to the Vegas Golden Knights in Game 7 of the second round. So they're very familiar with each other. Stetcher's talked about how big of a role model Edler has been for him. And I think, you know, Stetcher was incredibly, like, much better than he was in Detroit in Vancouver playing alongside Alex Edler. And I think the only option for Stetcher here is to play with Alex Edler.
Yeah, that's really the only place I see him playing. I mean, especially if you're going to have a player coming in, I would expect him to be at practice tomorrow. I would expect him to probably be in the game most likely be in the game on Tuesday. So to have him come in to a new team and play with a player that he's played a couple years with already, I mean, that's only going to help. And I'm sure that's something Rob Blake thought about when he was bringing him in. I appreciate that, Pavel. Well, I have there's a couple people that are requesting some time. So I think Based LA was the first one. Let me figure out. I'm still trying to figure out how to do this.
All right. Thanks, Russell.
Come on, man. You there, Base?
Yes, I am.
Hey guys, I just got a quick question for Pavel. So, with Troy Stetcher and the available defenseman on the market, what tier would you classify him as? Would he be in the same tier as a Luke Shen? Because I know that Vancouver fans are bandying about Luke Shen going for a second round pick, third round pick, and I know that Stetcher's been very, very injured over the past 2 years. Yeah, and so I'm wondering if his upside surpasses what is available on the market.
Yeah, I mean, I think getting him for a seventh round pick was fantastic. I mean, and there's literally no risk. I mean, he's an upcoming unrestricted free agent. He's making $1.7 million this year. And for a seventh round pick, and I mean, with a loaded already prospect pool, there's literally no loss. But I mean, compared to, like you said, I think Luke Shen does have the upper side. He's really proved himself as a good player, like a really good, like, bottom four defenseman on a playoff team. And the physicality is obviously on Shen's side, but I think Stetcher's got potential to really be worth more than a seventh round pick. We saw what he did in Vancouver, and I'm sure, like, if he was moved, if Vancouver did qualify him, I have a feeling they could have gone as high as like a third round. I mean, Travis Hamonic went for a third round pick today, so getting a Stetcher for a seventh is phenomenal. But I think he's really got potential to revive his career. It's been awful for him in Detroit, admittedly, and he hasn't lived up to expectations. But playing with Edler here, and I think compared to some other guys, I think he's a really good third-pairing guy. And I know we have already a stockpile of third right-handed defensemen with, like, Clark coming in and Faber and still Doughty. I'd like to see Stetcher come back on a one-year contract where he could be a seventh defenseman on this team.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, it'll be really interesting to see what Rob Blake, obviously, we're trying to figure out what he's going to do in the future, and most likely this offseason is going to be probably one of the most important offseasons of his tenure as general manager. I don't really see Stetcher coming back as a seventh defenseman. Like all the players you just mentioned, Brock Faber, Brant Clark, look what Sean Durzi's been able to do this year. He's kind of solidified a role for the future of this team going forward. I think this is more just kind of like a filler role to help with the team toward the end of the season. Our one of our Making It Rain hosts, Mr. Joe, wants to chime in. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing, Russ? Thanks, appreciate it. I just want to kind of piggyback off of Pavel. I think he said a lot of good things about Stetcher, and I think what I would look for in Stetcher with the Kings is kind of his transition play, his kind of his zone exits. And looking at some of the data on all three zones, he's really good on the zone exit point of view, and as well as zone entry. So he may not be the big flashy, sexy player or anything like that, but he's going to be a guy I think that quietly is able to transition pucks from the D zone, get it into the neutral zone, and start the offense for the Kings. So I would look for him to be more of kind of an under the radar type of guy that's just making those subtle plays. And a quick comment on the Luke Shen, I would take Stetcher over Shen 10 days out of 10. So yeah. I think as far as that goes, it was I'd much rather, particularly for the cost. So, it's not the big name guy that people have been bandied about, but I think he's a quietly under the radar, but should be effective defenseman.
Yeah. And I think those zone exits are huge. I mean, especially for a team like the Kings that play a 1-3-1 style of hockey where you're forcing dump ins. So you need to be good at those, to be able to get loose pucks in your own zone and be able to make that first pass out to whether it be the centerman or your defensive partner, whoever's open. I mean, that's going to be huge, and hopefully you can help out with the team. Or the other Making It Rain host, Mr. Randon, wants to chime in. What's up, Randon?
What's going on, my man? Yeah, I think this also shelters the rain a little bit, in their playoff run as well. You have Brock Faber most likely going pro after the season. And, the Kings have shown that they want to protect their prospects as much as they can and ease them along. And that might always not be the right decision or the wanted decision from fans, but it helps, the likes of Brock Faber to come in and not be expected to play minutes in LA and can go straight to Ontario, and it just kind of gives them more depth on the right side with the injuries being not really a defined amount of time, and so it allows not only the Kings to strengthen the blue line and make it into the playoffs, but the keep the reign at the hunt for the number one seed in the Pacific. So I think it's a good move on both sides, especially for such little cost.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I just mentioned with Jordan Spence, because, I mean, he's been excellent in terms of just being able to jump in and play a vital role for the Kings in these last couple of games. And it's really a role that I would say he probably shouldn't be playing right now. I mean, he's been doing well, but to expect him to be playing 20-plus minutes in the NHL for the type of game that he plays, that's not really something that he should be developing into right now. But, I mean, it's great for his development. It should be good going forward. What's up, Kiffin?
I was thinking to myself it would be pretty cool to actually see Spence and Stetcher play together. I mean, the obvious pairing is Edler and Stetcher, but I'd like to see what Stetcher could give Spence as far as, you know, creating opportunities to go a bit more north-south and having somebody back behind him who can, you know, really defend the our blue line, or, you know, the Kings' blue line, while letting him jump into the play. I think that'd be a great pairing to watch.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting. I know Stetcher and Spence, I think they both play on the right side, so we'd probably have to have Spence move to the left, which he actually did at the Arizona rookie faceoff at the beginning of the season. I thought he played really well. He and Sean Durzi kind of piggybacked off each other throughout that whole tournament. But yeah, that's something that Jordan Spence could probably help out with, or Stetcher could probably help Jordan Spence out with. But yeah, we'll see. I'm pretty much expecting Edler and Stetcher to be paired up together for the first couple of games, and we'll see what happens when players start getting healthy. Maybe see if Stetcher actually does have a spot on the Kings when everyone's fully healthy. That'll be something interesting to see. We have a couple more people that are requesting. Looks like my boy Augie wants to chime in. What's up? What's up, Augie? Wait for him to connect here.
I am here. Sorry about that. Got a little bit of a what's delay up, here.
No worries.
What's that, Russell? Am I coming?
The floor is yours. Go ahead.
I'm good. Am I coming through okay?
You're good.
Oh, perfect. Hey, thanks for setting this up. I love this concept of using Twitter Spaces in order for everybody to talk and hear our thoughts and share them out here, as opposed to being limited by the amount of characters on Twitter.
I appreciate that.
So my view on this, I think this was a fantastic under-the-radar move. One of the things that I like about it is the EV on it. I mean, the expected value of this, of getting some more NHL experience on the blue line. On top of that, Stetcher brings an element that's been kind of missing out there on the Kings. The guy is, I guess you can kind of call him a defensive version of Blake Lizotte, in the sense that he undrafted. The guy had to work hard. He's 5'10", but he tries to play like he's 6'3". He's not afraid to use his body. He's got some skill out there. And to get a guy like this that's got a little bit of sandpaper to him, and he's not afraid to go toe-to-toe or match up with bigger guys, like Pavel pointed out, this is a nice move. Seventh-round pick, no problem. You get to address the blue line depth. He's low cost, and he's going to bring something that we're missing. And hopefully he can kind of help these kids grow and give them a little bit of room to take some more risks and not be afraid that if they make a mistake, they're on a one-way bus back to Ontario.
Yeah, I think that'll definitely take a little bit of pressure off some of the rookies who've had to step in. But yeah, Stetcher's got a little bit of flash to his game too. I remember watching during the World Championships last year, when he was on Canada, he and Mangiapane were kind of like the big dynamic duo, in terms of forward defense, duo for Team Canada. And it was a team that Gabe Vilardi was on as well. I think there was another King on that team. I can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, he looked really good in that. And that tournament, and it's been unfortunate to kind of have him be injured, or he's been injured for Detroit this season. But hopefully he's healthy and he can be a nice piece for the Kings going forward.
There's one other little hidden thing here. that nobody's talked about with him. You want to know what that is?
What is
he? He is total Brock Besser bait. He and Besser are best friends.
I've heard about that. Yes. I've heard.
So you never know when that little bit of tidbit is just put there, like go back to Richardson Carter. You never know those little things you put there to make it a little more comfortable for somebody you're looking and drawing over, and you give them a little more incentive to kind of look your way and maybe give you a little bit of a cap-friendly discount.
There you go. Yeah, now we're talking. Now we're talking a little bit of dynamic duos. Hopefully he's got that same companionship is going to work with Arvidsson and Forsberg. We'll talk a little bit more about some rumors that are going on, but Augie, that was awesome. I appreciate it. I'm going to move on.
Not a problem. Thanks.
There's some other people.
Thanks, guys.
No problem, man. We got Ryan on here. What's up, Ryan? You there, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up,
bro? I just kind of wanted to point out something I've noticed just during Rob Blake's tenure so far, and that's that he's really mastered the art of the low-risk trade. I mean, you go back to 2020, he gets Olimata for Brad Morrison. I mean, we all know Mata struggled in his first year, but he's really bounced back this year. And then he gets Victor Arvidsson for a second and a third, and look at the impact he's had so far. And he goes out today and gets Stetcher for a seventh. I mean, I think he deserves consideration for GM of the year just because, I mean, what he's brought in is so much more than what he's given up. And my question to you would be, do you see him sort of staying along that path of just getting smaller pieces here and there, or do you think he'll transition into giving up more for some bigger pieces?
Man, that's actually a really good question. It's a really good point that you make in terms of Rob Blake. He's kind of hunting at the bottom of the barrel, I guess you could say. And a lot of these players that he's picking up, Arvidsson coming off an injury, Stetcher coming off an injury, Olimata kind of got for cheap. Yeah, these are kind of the trades that Rob Blake has been making. And in terms of GM of the year, I think the Deneau deal has pretty much kind of locked him up, in my opinion, for that. Because look what Deneau's pretty much been able to carry the team. It's been the MVP of the Kings this season. As far as what if we'll see these type of moves going forward for Rob Blake, I think he'll actually have to be forced into making something big. You look at all the prospects that the Kings have right now. There's too many for them to – like, just, I mean, I guess they could wait, maybe hold off on having these prospects play a couple more years in the AHL. But, man, there's so many blue chip prospects that the Kings have. I mean, we all know the names: Brant Clark, Gabe Vilardi, Quinn Byfield, Arthur Kelly. I'll go over all of them. We all know the names. And you just have to envision that the Kings will be forced into making some type of big move to bring in a super sniper or number one left defenseman and ship out some of these prospects. So maybe he'll keep going. I don't envision Rob Blake being that busy tomorrow. I think this Stetcher move kind of made it seem maybe it's the last thing he'll do. And it's just more of a depth piece, and he'll just keep playing the kids just toward the end of the season. And hopefully they can kind of limp their way into the playoffs before or after people start to get healthy. So I would expect maybe come offseason we'll see that big trade being made, just because he'll have to be forced to make it. And hope maybe it is Jacob Chychrun. Maybe he brings in some sniper like Brock Besser that's been talked about. So we'll see. What's up, Pablo? You got something to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think tomorrow, I don't think we should expect much. Blake did mention how there's not much to look for this trade deadline. And I think he saw the issue with the defense, and he brought in Troy Stetcher he jumped on the opportunity to get a player like Stetcher for a cheap price, like a seventh rounder. And I think come tomorrow, we're just going to have to enjoy what the rest of the league is doing. Cause I highly doubt anything happens. I do think something big happens in the summer though. Maybe Forsberg, as bringing in Forsberg as an unrestricted free agent, or maybe he does jump on the Chychrun trade. I mean, it's still rumored that Chychrun is on the market and they're looking to move, and the Coyotes are looking to move him, and the Kings are still seriously interested in him. And I don't think it happens tomorrow. I think it has to be an off season move.
Yeah, I'm kind of expected. I mean, I would say it's 64, well, probably even more than that, that Chikrin gets moved in the offseason. I just didn't envision a trade like that being made just mid-season before at the deadline. I mean, look at the Seth Jones move last season. I mean, that's something – that's a trade with all the prospects moving and all the pieces involved. That's something that most likely gets made probably around the draft. But we'll see. Maybe Rob Blake surprises us and a move like that gets made tomorrow. Joe, you got something to add to that?
I was just going to say I'll echo the sentiments that I suspect tomorrow to be relatively quiet. But Ryan makes a great point about the kind of subtle and under the radar type of moves and low risk moves that have turned out to pay dividends. But listen, where Blake is going to really make his money here, you know, it's a figure of speech, is he's going to need to make that big trade. You know, at some point in the next year or two, this team is going to be expected to be a contender with all these prospects. And I would imagine they're going to try to take one more kick at the can with Kopitar and Doughty. So you've got a couple of year window there with these guys playing at the level that they're playing at. So at some point here, relatively soon, that big trade has to happen. And that's the one you can't miss on, right? You can't miss on Mike Richards or Jeff Carter type of thing, and using the Dean Lombardi example. So at some point, that big trade is going to have to happen. I don't think it has to be tomorrow by any means, and that's fine. But that'll be interesting to see. He's done a nice job so far of compiling what he's done. But can he be able to pull off the big impact trade to get this team to the next level?
Yeah, and I've kind of compared the trajectory the Kings are on right now to the 2010, 2012, that kind of range, that's kind of where the Kings are at. They haven't made that Mike Richards move where they've shipped out a couple prospects like Braden Chen, Wayne Simmons to bring in that main piece. So we're still waiting for that move to be made, and maybe it comes soon. Kiffin, you got more to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I've seen the most with Blake, and it's a just sort of a funny way to put it. It's like he's playing, you know, an NHL video game on like all-star level, and he's really good at it, but he's afraid to make that trade. He doesn't want to change things, and like with him being a player and not having really much experience in the GM position when he got elevated, I feel like he's been very conservative with that because he understands what the room needs. So he makes a lot of good deals, you know, signing people and making trades at the draft and all that. But I don't think this year, I'll echo everybody else's sentiment. I don't think this year is the year, but I think what we should watch for is a big deal in the off season, maybe at the draft, maybe after. But if not, then we're going to see something. I mean, next year is going to be the year, I think, that we're going to see something huge, and it's going to be massive. Not like Florida Panthers not having a first round draft pick for 18 years or whatever it is, but we're going to see something big.
Yeah, the Panthers are definitely selling all out for this year, as well they should. I think they have a team that could definitely win it all, and I would love to see a Florida Panthers, Colorado Avalanche Stanley Cup final. I think that would just be probably one of the best finals in quite some time.
My grandmother would cry.
Yeah, just for people that don't know, Kiffin's grandmother was at the 1996, one of the games for that final between the Panthers and the Avalanche. So
that was at game nice four. Little, she was at the game four, actually.
Okay, that's perfect. Perfect. So that was awesome, Ryan. I appreciate the input. Based, you got something to add to that as well?
I just kind of want to touch on what this depth on defensemen and how maybe it'll give Faber a little bit more time. I kind of see Faber signing and getting to maybe three games at the end of this year, but I don't think by any means he's fast tracked to the NHL, even with how he performed at the Olympics. With Blake being a Hall of Fame defenseman, and this is something that kind of piggybacks off of what you guys were just talking about. Like, he knows what the room needs. He knows what the players need. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's going to be a little bit more patient rather than rush some of these higher-end defensive prospects. Because, I mean, the Kings have had a history of not really developing top-tier defensive prospects that have a lot of the tools. I mean, we had Muzzin as an undrafted free agent. We had, God forbid we mention him, but Slava Voyanov. But outside of him, Slava and Doughty,
we really haven't had anybody that's been higher than the top four ceiling.
Alec Martinez is pretty good.
Yes, but Alec Martinez, his best role was when he was a five, when he was like defenseman number five. When we had players get hurt, when Muzzin got hurt and we tried to elevate Marty, he was left exposed. And that may have been due to the depth we had on defense at the time. Maybe he didn't have as high of a quality of partner. But, I mean, even over in Vegas, they play him in the fifth, sixth role. He's not a top four defenseman by any means. But he's a great defenseman.
Yeah, I see that, Art. I see that argument. I mean, I think Alec Martinez is definitely a top four defenseman. That's just my opinion. I mean, he's got a lot of versatility to his game, and but we'll see. We'll see Al Stetcher, and we'll see what Brock Faber, what happens with Faber. I know he'll be moving on to the Frozen Four. That tournament's happening soon, so the Kings have five prospects moving on to that tournament. So that'll be a fun watch. I appreciate it. I'm gonna try to get to everybody. I think there's a couple more people. I don't know who was first. It doesn't really show me. So I'm going to move on to Robert. What's up, Robert? Can you hear me? You there?
Hold on.
If you don't. I'm you there. What's up, Robert?
Thanks for putting this together, Russell. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem.
Couple of points. I think, you know, most people who have spoken so far, and probably everyone on here, could admit that with the current injuries to the blue line, this deal probably doesn't get done. Right. I mean, it makes sense with all the injuries they have. I think it was Ryan who pointed out online today that Stetcher played at the North Dakota championship team with Christian Wolanin. So I don't know if there's any connection there as well as with Edler, or if they, you know, what they plan on doing with Wolanin. He may just be a depth Ontario guy. But absolutely, Blake does not overpay with their assets. I mean, it's value. It's a value play. You know, he's not going to go out and spend four assets on a Chychrun. Obviously, he hasn't done it yet. The ask is way too high. I like his restraint in that respect, and I think that restraint makes sense. In a season like this, where when the Kings, hey, they started 1-5-1, they're obviously not a 1-5-1 team. They're also on track to get somewhere between 95 and 100 points. Nobody expected them to get 95 to 100 points this year either. So they're ahead of schedule. So I appreciate his restraint, where I think there's a lot of Twitter folks who are just go out and get this guy without the foresight of, what are you paying for that? I had a question for Pavel, which you may know. I'm guessing Troy Stetcher is a good character guy. That's the other thing that Blake and the whole scouting team have seemed to draft in the last 3-4 years are players with character and good locker room guys and guys who could all put a C or an A on their chest.
Yeah, so I mean, I wrote about this earlier today and talked about it earlier. He's a fan favorite. In Vancouver, everybody loved him, and in Detroit, everybody's saying how they're gonna miss him. And he is an energy guy. He's loud in the locker room. He gets the team going. It seems to me that everybody in Vancouver and Detroit, like players wise and coaches wise, always had something positive to say about him. And He's a great locker room guy. So not only is this going to help the team on ice, but, you know, I'd say he has that same energy level as Brendan Lemieux does. So while Lemieux's still out, you've got a guy like Troy Stetcher out here and getting the guys going.
And that brings me to my last question. With Lemieux out, I don't know if anybody has any foresight into how long Lemieux might be out and how bad it is. But bringing up all the points we just brought up and what you just brought up too, Pavel, a replacement for Lemieux potentially, Kyle Clifford. Now, right? Okay, so he's on waivers. It wouldn't be a long-term signing. It's a low cost. let's face it, it's a business. He'd fire up the fan base. I mean, imagine how many heads would explode if the Kings went out and said, "We're signing Clifford, and he's good in the locker room. Everybody loves the guy." So that's all I got.
You can
mull that one over.
No, you're not the only one that's mentioned that, Robert. I think that's as soon as everyone saw his name on waivers today, everybody kind of like, well, and made that same comparison. Well, with Lemieux out, the Kings are lacking that kind of tenacity right now. Kyle Clifford's right there for the taking. I personally don't see them revisiting that.
And we don't have the insight into, you know, if Lemieux's going to be out one more week, I don't know if you go out and sign Clifford. If he's going to be out, through the end of April, you know, what do you have to lose? You know, if you get 1 month of Kyle Clifford, you may sell some more tickets.
True. I will say for Brendan Lemieux, I believe the LA Kings shared a photo of him and Arvidsson skating together just, I believe it was yesterday at TSPC. So I don't think Lemieux's going to be out that long. I know Arvidsson's been skating for a while. I don't know how long Lemieux's been skating for a while. We'll find out when the Kings get back to practice. I believe there's an availability with Rob Blake tomorrow. Hopefully we can get a little bit more insight in terms of maybe some injury updates on players like that.
Yeah, Robert. And that's probably the limiting factor is if Lemieux's out short term.
Yeah.
It's a no go. Sure. But anyhow.
I appreciate it, Robert. Yep. I'm going to move on to, I think it's, looks like Cody, Cold Brew 1795. What's up, Cody? It looks like you're connecting here.
Hello? You there, can you hear me?
Yes, hey, sir. Hey, guys. What's going on?
Thanks for having me on. So I just think, I know we've been talking a lot about restraint, but I just think that we got to go kind of sell the farm for this season. You know, you look back at 2012 with Carter, 2014 with Gabrick. I mean, you know, especially with this season being such a surprise, I just think you can't let it go to waste and you have to try to get better at the deadline. But that's just my two cents.
Yeah, I think Kiffin wants to piggyback off that. What's up, Kiffin?
Yeah, like I my thought on the deadline, like there are moments I agree with Cody, like where I'm watching games and I'm like, you know, just having Jacob Chychrun on the blue line would be amazing. But my thought is, and the reason that I think conservatism will win out the day for LA is you look at the Richards, the Carter, the Gabrick trade, you know, and we hold those in high regard because they brought Stanley Cups to Los Angeles. Let's not forget the Sakara trade, which happened at the deadline as well. You know, just trying to go out there and win sometimes backfires. And
the Ben Bishop trade.
The Ben Bishop trade, exactly. I loved Peter Budaj. I'm a Budaj fan. I'm putting it out there. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's all well and good to think that, but we're still running. I mean, we're running on a 5-year plan for the LA Kings, according to management. And to be in year four, kind of, you know, pushing the bounds of the playoffs, we can't jump ahead of schedule because that's how your rebuild just completely goes off track. You jump too fast and you immediately fall apart again. I think that conservatism needs to win the day in this regard. We need to, you know, take the playoff experience that we're probably going to get and use it for next year. You know, Dustin Brown said, said when I think it was at the beginning of the 2014 season, he said that the loss in 2013 to the Blackhawks was worse only because they knew what they had lost. Mm-hmm. Like these kids need to learn what they're going to lose in the playoffs. You know, I mean, yeah, of course, if they make the playoffs, I'm going to be one of those people who says we're going to the Cup. I'm going to believe in the team 100%. But if they lose, they get that, you know, they get that knowledge base, that experience, that gobsmacked moment of the playoffs. I think it's much better to just let it happen, let it flow, not make a huge move. I think a Stetcher move is a great move. Maybe bring in somebody, you know, like a middle or bottom six scorer who's out there and available that maybe they've been talking about. But, you know, selling the farm today, tomorrow, I don't see it.
Yeah, I think Rob Blake, and it's kind of like you don't really know what you have right now for the prospects too. I mean, yeah, some prospects have had some time in the AHL. Gabe Vilardi is probably one of the big names when we think about it. But I mean, look at some of the other prospects. They're really playing. I mean, last season was really just kind of an abbreviated, just kind of like, here you go, let's just put an AHL season together and you're going to be playing there. And they were all kids playing together. And that's kind of why the Rain were doing kind of up and down. They weren't really that good because there were young kids playing in this professional league for the first time in their careers. So for Rob Blake, he's got to see what he has first and before he starts making those big moves. Because right now, there's some pieces to fill on the Kings roster, obviously. And you can't just trade a bunch of prospects to fill, to bring in one player when you still need like two or three or four pieces or roster spots to fill on the for the franchise going forward. So it's I get the kind of wait and see aspect that Rob Blake is showing right now. You got something to add to that, Pavel?
I mean, I think we all want to see the Kings make a huge splash, whether it's free agency or trade. But, you know, there's a plan. Blake believes that, you know, he's done a fantastic job with the rebuild so far. And, I mean, he's slowly but surely making this team better. Arvidsson, Deneau, and, you know, bringing in Edler, such big parts to making this team the way that it is. And, you know, from last year to this year, like, the difference is it's massive. You know, just a few players have made such a big impact on this team. But I feel like the other name that's been thrown around with LA is Kulak, Brett Kulak from Montreal. But now that they've gone ahead and gone Stetcher, I don't think that Kulak's really much of an option. But I think right now, I think the best idea is to just wait, get the team healthy, and then go from there. And then in the off season, you'll be able to make that next big step.
Yeah, it's just tough to wait second in the Pacific.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, like, the Pacific race for the playoffs is incredibly close, and I mean, Calgary's already destined first spot. That's a lock. But I mean, Vancouver's been on fire lately. I mean, Edmonton's starting to crawl back up. And I mean, as much as we want to see Vegas completely crash and burn, they're still a good team. They've still got a little bit of hope, and they're going to be active at the deadline too. They're still looking for a goalie. But it's going to be a close race. And I think we all want to see Blake make a big trade, but the smart thing to do right now is just hold on, you know, get the team healthy. And then once the team is healthy, we'll go from there and, you know, read and assess in the off season.
Yeah, for sure. And then we always, I mean, I was one of the ones that was banging the play the kids drum all last season. And this is kind of what, I mean, we're getting what we wanted. I mean, we wanted to see the kids playing. They're playing right now. So we can't expect the kids to play. And then all of a sudden, if they're not producing like a Quentin Byfield right now, we can't be hard on them, because this is what we wanted. We wanted to see these kids in their game right now, or in the NHL right now. And they're getting games. I wasn't expecting players like Quentin Byfield to be producing quite a bit. I just wanted them to get their feet wet in the NHL. And I think this is really good for them to let Rob Blake see before he wants to make a big move. Cody, I appreciate the insight. I'm going to move on. We got my good buddy Richard Sarabia here, one of the OGs of the Hockey Royalty podcast. What's up, Richard? You got something you want to say? You there, Richard? I think he's there. Hold on. Let me see. One second.
And what's up, hockey fans? You know, the NHL season has been packed with dirty dangles, hat tricks, and big wins. As the action rolls on, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has your shot to win big, too. New customers can bet just $1 on any team and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's right. A bump in the win column for your team means free bets for you. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you still have a shot to light the lamp. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet just $1 on any NHL team and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. 21 and over only. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537 in Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Wyoming. 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and New Hampshire. 888-789-7777 /visit ccpg.org /chat in Connecticut. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-877-770-STOP 7867 in Louisiana. 877-8-HOPE-NY /text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Visit OPGR.org in Oregon. Call or text TN Redline 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee or 1-888-532-3500 in Virginia. Again, you must be 21 or older to enter. Physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Michigan, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See http://draftkings.com/sportsbook for details.
Let me move on to Rich. Are you there? All right. Let's see. Johnny, Utah. I'll move on to him. Johnny, you there? Johnny Utah.
Hi.
What's up, buddy? Is that Richard?
Yeah, it's me. Sorry.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
Nothing much. What's going on with you?
Nothing much. Just excited, you know, like for this season. Like, I was really happy with the one trade that we made so far. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I think if anything, like, I agree with what you guys were talking about earlier. That the Kings, well, the guys that said the wait-and-see approach, I totally agree with that because I think that this is not the right time to just go, like, for big swings right now. It's still kind of early. And if anything, all the prospects that we have that people want, if they go on this really deep playoff run with the Calder Cups or end up winning the Calder Cup itself, then they're going to be worth, like, way more. You can get way more stuff that you actually need, like, you know, in the offseason. So I think it's better if you're going to trade a prospect, at least wait till he's worth a lot more. Because right now, most of them are too young. Some of them had a lot of injuries, like Turcotte. So they're not really worth, like, a lot right now. So if you're going to trade one of those guys, at least wait till they're worth something. And you know, let them play in the playoffs first.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Because that's something that I've mentioned on our podcast is that, I mean, the Calder Cup playoffs, that's some invaluable experience for players like Quentin Byfield, Jordan Spence, Gabe Vilardi. He'll probably be a part of the Reign. Samuel Fugimo, who's been lighting it up. He has two assists tonight. I'm watching the Reign game right now. They're losing 3-2 to Abbotsford, but he has two assists tonight, and he has, I believe it's 12 points in the last 10 games. So, that, I mean, for those players to get that experience in the Calder Cup playoffs, that's going to be huge for their development, as opposed to just playing some important games in the NHL right now. But just keep them in the AHL, keep them percolating. Just get them those valuable playoff type games, because that's only going to help them in the long run. You got anything else you want to add, Richard?
If anything, I think that the other thing I want to add is that we don't really need to make a ton of moves either, because once we're 100% healthy, we could be any damn team. I don't care who it is. But, like, the thing is that, you know, I think everybody knows, you know, if you don't, that I want Vegas in the first round because I hate them and I want revenge for 2018. And I think if we're 100% healthy, you know, I think we can kick their ass and they owe us, you know, so I really want that really bad. And I think getting all those guys back is just as good as trading for guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're the only one. If I'm messing around with buttons, so if I've accidentally removed you, that's a total mistake on my part. I'm trying to figure this out as we go. Richard, I appreciate it. I'm going to move on to Johnny, Utah. Johnny, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up, bro?
Hey, man. Hey, thanks for all the good coverage. I follow your Twitter all the time.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I just got back from Vegas. I actually went to the game. That T-Mobile Arena is pretty sick.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Cool. I'm sorry that was the game you had to see, but
yeah, exactly. So real quick, here's my point, and I even harped and talked about it and Nick Nixon on the radio last week on Kings Talk. You know, with Lemieux out, and you know, it's been mentioned a few times, the Kings are pretty soft, especially on defense. And Nick even said the Kings could use more of a mobile McDermott type player. You know, McDermott's kind of, I mean, he's one of my favorite players, but he's, you know, basically a 13th forward, a 7D. But I think a lot of people forget, I even Rob Blake, that the Kings won their cups. It was one stay at home tough guy, you know, tough defense, but not tough guy, but, you know, with the puck mover. You had Doughty with Scuderi, mm-hmm. you had Martinez with Green, and Mitchell with Voinoff. And the Kings have kind of shied away from that. Most of the prospects, Faber, Clark, these guys aren't like the toughest guys or the biggest guys. I think instead of a Stetcher, which is fine, I mean, number seven, it goes to Ontario, but the Kings should be looking at a Jake Middleton, something like that, a bigger guy, because when Lemieux's out, I'm a season ticket holder. Especially the last couple of weeks, they've been getting crushed. Like Sam Bennett ran quick. No one did anything against mm-hmm. McDermott was taking runs at people. We played Colorado. Like they need some more grit. I'm kind of shocked. Rob Blake, whose whole career was surrounded by guys like McSorley and Scott Parker in Colorado. Like does he see this? I mean, I don't know, you know?
No. Yeah. That's a really good point. And we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier. I don't expect Brandon Lemieux to be out too long. I just mentioned, I think the LA Kings Instagram shared that he and Arvidsson were skating. I believe it was just yesterday. So hopefully he'll be back soon. But yeah, I mean, that is something that they're lacking, because watching the Florida game, the Colorado game, I mean, those are big teams, and they were really showing their size against a team like the Kings, who was really just, I mean, look at the team that the Kings are icing right now. I mean, all six of their starting offensive or defense were out for a couple of games. So, I mean, you got a lot of young rookies who are kind of just getting their feet wet in the NHL. They're not going to be face washing other teams. Some veterans that like that are going to step up to them. So it's kind of hard for them to get acclimated to that. But hopefully Brendan Lemieux will be back soon, and then he can bring a little bit more of that tenacity and and some of that roughness that they've been lacking lately.
What's up? Yeah, I mean, I'm just going down the wild cards, and it's like Calgary, you know, Gudbranson, Zadorov, Lucic, Tkachuk, Edmonton, Kane, Nurse, you know, Cassian. Like, you know, the Kings are going to have to play these teams in the playoffs potentially. And Brendan Lemieux, I mean, I love Lemieux. He's my favorite King, but, you know, he's a 6'2 kind of middleweight, maybe kind of, you know, a light heavyweight, but they can't put it all on him.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, absolutely. And I think most of the NHL has kind of shied away from those enforcer types. And Lemieux brings a lot more than just that tenacity. I think he was top 10 in Corsi 4 percentage in the entire league. So, I mean, yeah, he's playing mostly fourth line minutes, but he still brings a little bit of a, I guess I wouldn't say offense to his game, but he brings some puck possession to the game. And that's something that the Kings have really been lacking on the fourth line. I mean, we talked, like, Blake Lizotte has been awesome, but maybe we're starting to see that chemistry that he had with Brendan Lemieux was really what was carrying his play. So yeah, hopefully yeah, we can get Brendan Lemieux back, and hopefully he can solidify that fourth line for Lizotte going forward. Kiffin, Pavel, you guys got something you want to add?
I mean, yeah, I really believe in building teams off of skill rather than physicality, but in this case, I completely agree that they're getting kicked around every game. I mean, the hits are always favored against the opponent, and it is just it's always tough to see, you know, your team go down like Lemieux out and Arvidsson. But in cases like this, I think the Kings really do need to find themselves a guy like Matthew Tkachuk. Well, you're not going to get Tkachuk, obviously, but you need a guy that can have a very good offensive game while managing to be the agitator and, you know, have a big body and, you know, lay a hit here and there. And I really like the name that you mentioned with Jacob Middleton, because even with the analytics and the visuals, I mean, not only is he a tough guy that can drop the mitts and stand up for his team, but defensively, he's a rock. And all he needs to do is find that offensive touch. And I really do believe that he could have a breakout season any moment now. And amongst all, like, rookie defenseman with market value. I believe he was like fourth or something like that. And he's a very valuable player to the Sharks. And having a guy like Jacob Middleton on the left side of this defense is not only going to make this team tougher and scarier to play against, but it'll make it severely better. So I would like to see the Kings make an inquiry on Middleton because his name has been thrown around. But they do need more physicality, and they do need somebody that could stand up for the rest of the team.
Yeah, and that's kind of why we're just kind of hoping Lemieux will come back sooner rather than later. Kiffin, you got something you want to add to that?
I mean, Pavel and I were of one mind today. You know, I was looking at Middleton the other day, just thinking like that would be a really good acquisition. Getting him from the Sharks, of course, is always difficult. You know, you don't really want to cede something to your division if you can help it. I mean, we at Hockey Royalty, we had an article that named Carson Soucy as a possible idea, and I'm still awed by that idea. You know, Seattle seems to be kind of shopping out, looking for picks. I feel like we could probably get something for Carson Soucy. But right now, I think what we started to see over the last couple of years is this switch to finesse and skill. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to get to a point where the agitator is great, but the agitator is not going to be the guy who drops the mitts necessarily. He's going to be the guy that, you know, for lack of a better term, irritates somebody to the point that they take a penalty. And, you know, sitting back and saying, you know, that we need someone who's going to drop the mitts or be the tough guy maybe isn't the way to go. And that's one of the things I've liked about Lemieux since he came to us. I never really saw him shine in New York the way he does with us. But I mean, he is willing to drop the gloves, obviously, but he's more of a pest than anything else. People get irritated at him. And, you know, it's important that we do something like actually create a situation where we've got guys who are irritating other players to the point that they're making mistakes rather than guys who are standing up at the blue line and saying, like, this is my team, don't touch them.
Yeah, and that transition that the Kings have gone from the 2000 from the cup year teams where they were just big bruisers constantly forechecking to more skill guys, we're seeing that. Yeah, definitely. But in order to bring in players, they're bringing in players like Lemieux who can bring that toughness and tenacity, but as well as that puck possession and that offensive game, that's helped a little bit too. And he's got a really high shooting percentage with the team just because he's willing to take those pucks to the net. And he's constantly hounding the puck, and maybe that's something that he's kind of gained playing alongside Blake Lizotte because those two have looked really good together. Johnny, that was awesome. I appreciate it, man. I'm going to move on to looks like Matthew, Mr. Bucket Hat. See if I can get him on here. You there, Matthew?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. What's cool. up, man?
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
No worries,
I just had a couple things that I wanted to kind of bring up or go over. One thing I will go back to is kind of the Chychrun stuff. I could be overanalyzing it, but I kind of feel like some people are kind of digging too deep into the Rob Blake stuff, saying there's nothing to look forward to just because I feel like he wouldn't come out and say he's cooking up a big trade. I could be overanalyzing that, though, for sure. Also, I don't know about, you know, cap space and stuff like that, if we could even fit him in. But I think his last name, I think it's Pagnotta, I think is how you say his last name. He was on the NHL Fantasy podcast today, and he still said that it's a real possibility he gets dealt, and he said that the Kings are most likely still the front runner if he does, and he's borderline, he would be shocked if he doesn't get traded. So I know everybody kind of, you know, feels like we're not going to make a big move this year, which I kind of get that sense as well. I don't know. So I kind of just wanted to throw that out there. I don't know if anybody saw that from that podcast today. I guess my thoughts on the trade deadline were I either want them to, you know, either go all in or if they're going to wait. I don't really want to make like a average move for Connor Garland, you know, or something like that. That's not something that I want them to do just because I don't think he moves the needle too much for them. And so those were just kind of my thoughts. And I was kind of, I know I've seen you guys tweet about Connor Garland a little bit, but I was kind of curious on your thoughts and if you think they make a move for Garland or if they don't do anything at all.
I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't tweeted about anything about Connor Garland the last couple of days at all.
No, I'm just, who is Connor Garland? I don't
even know. No, yeah, I mean, kind of more of a blanket statement with all the, I guess, quote unquote rumors that have gone around. I'll personally say I've tried to check in with the Kings management to see if maybe they can feed me anything. I mean, just look at all the, they haven't given me nothing. So, and I think this is really something that's happened with Rob Blake. They've been so tight-lipped with everything that has gone on. Look at all the moves that Rob Blake has made. Bring in Arvidsson. Was there any rumors connecting Arvidsson to the Kings before that happened? Nothing.
All right.
Was there any rumors or anything connecting Philip Deneau to the Kings? If you had told me before that the Kings were bringing in another center and we're going to pay $5.5 million for him, I'd be like, why? They already have Quentin Byfield. They have Gabe Vilardi. Like, why do we need another center? And sure enough, that move gets made. And look at today, Troy Stetcher. Was there any rumors connecting Troy Stetcher to the Kings? I mean, maybe that it kind of came up out of nowhere, maybe mostly because of the injuries. But so I'm kind of skeptical to kind of lean into these rumors that are coming out. I mean, Chychrun to the LA, it just makes sense. So I wonder if that's why everyone's kind of piggybacking off of it. Because, I mean, you just look at what the Kings' defense looks like now and going forward. I mean, adding a player like Jacob Chychrun would just really solidify the top four. When you have players like Mikey Anderson, Drew Doughty, Brant Clark, and Jacob Chychrun, that's a pretty solid top four to have. And then you have, like, players like Sean Dursey and Brock Faber coming in. So to hear all about all these rumors, yeah, we love talking about them. Yeah, that's great. I'll talk about Jacob Chychrun to the Kings all day. I'll talk about Brock Besser to the Kings all day, but I think it's more or less just like we look at the fit of what the team needs and we see a player that's possibly available and we say, okay, maybe the Kings are interested. But do we really know for sure? I mean, it just seems like Rob Blake has kind of been so tight-lipped on everything. You got something you want to add to that, Kiffin?
Yeah, the tight-lipped thing, I think Rob Blake is just all about, you know, letting people being the fans just sort of stew in ideas. As things have gone on, you know, we do talk about Jacob Chychrun, but I'm starting to feel like if we're going to get Jacob Chychrun, we need to have another piece coming back as well. I mean, I don't like to throw the B word around, blockbuster, but like it's got to be big. As time has gone on, when the Chychrun rumors started, I thought, you know, this would be great. I'd love to see Jacob Chychrun in a Kings jersey, and I still would, but as we're going down, he's been getting hurt, and like I'm starting to be a little bit skeptical, I guess, of what he could really do for the team in the short term. You know, obviously he's signed for a few years and he's 23 years old. He's, you know, all that, but you know, I'm wondering if the trade shouldn't involve somebody else. You know, if we shouldn't be saying, you know, yeah, we'll take Jacob Chychrun, but we want Christian Fischer or Matias Michelli or something. You know, it's mm-hmm. I'm starting to feel like we all kind of latched onto the Chychrun thing, like you said, Russ, but you know, there's more to be had out there than Jacob Chychrun. And like, now that we're here looking at the possibility of it happening and Doughty's hurt. So now we're seeing, you know, what life without Drew Doughty is like, you know, it's kind of like, all right, well, let's pull the trigger. But at the same time, shouldn't we look for something that actually benefits us in many ways in the longer term? Because with Blake and the management team being so secretive sort of about what they're doing, you know, they're making these moves that are working. Perhaps there is something on the table that's more than just Jacob Chychrun, and that's why it hasn't happened.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that 100%. I mean, I look at players that I've kind of been mentioned. Look at a player like Travis Sanheim. I think he would be a great piece to add for the Kings. And the Flyers are kind of in that, I don't want to say they're rebuilding, but it seems like they're kind of starting to sell off some big pieces there. Pavel, you got something you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about more pieces coming back than just Chychrun. And the one perfect player that comes to mind is Lawson Krause. We were just talking about how we're missing physicality, how we could probably stockpile a little bit more on forwards, and Lawson Krause is just the perfect player. He fights, he scores goals, he's a good playmaker, and most importantly is he can hit, and the physicality and the size is there. And I think if you make a move for Chychrun, you have to find a way to get Lawson Crouse in the deal as well. At first, earlier on in the year, I think Boston had interest in Crouse, and it was really close to happening. And then apparently the Coyotes didn't want to move him. And as time went on, I think I saw this on Instagram actually really recently, how they wanted to extend Vejmelka, or however you say it, but they wanted to extend him, and Lawson Crouse, his name was on the market. And it got me thinking, like, if you can find a way to get Lawson Crouse with Jacob Chychrun in the same trade, you know, you killed two birds with one stone. You got yourself your heavy hitting top six forward, as well as your, you know, future number one defenseman, or, you know, depending on Clark, whatever. But you found yourself Chychrun, and you found yourself, you know, someone like a few sizes down, but someone on the same skill set as Matthew Tkachuk, with the same play style.
So I didn't want to say Lawson Crouse. I was I was thinking Lawson Crouse too, but like I didn't want to say it because it's like that. That's a big ask. Like that's a huge trade.
It's a huge ask, and I think the Coyotes are going to want a first round pick for him. But I really do wonder if the Kings, if they do make an inquiry on Chychrun, where do they stand on getting a player like Lawson Crouse? I would love to see Crouse with the Kings. I think if you can get them both, it's just going to put the Kings over the top.
Yeah, that's the trade. Like, that's the trade. If you're going to do the big one that pushes you into true playoff contention, I think that's it right there.
Yeah, we're talking blockbusters. That's a blockbuster right there. But, yeah, just to kind of – for those who don't know, Lawson Crouse, 6'4", left wing, who's having a career year with the Coyotes this year with 32 points and 60 games played. I think he just had a hat trick a couple games ago. So, yeah, I've heard the Devils are a team that's interested in him. I think it's Miles Wood and a pick for him is what I've heard. But, yeah, if the Coyotes are willing to move on to him, that's somebody that definitely the Kings would love to have. Looks like Matthew, I appreciate it. I'm going to move on to Sokadia. I don't know if that's your name, but I hope I'm saying it right. What's up, man? You there?
Hello.
Yo,
hey guys. So I'm brand new to this. So just wanted to say hi.
No worries.
And so thank you guys for doing this. I just wanted to say a couple things, and then also maybe have a couple questions tied in. I feel pretty disappointed how things have gone over the last – I mean, it's been 8 years since we had anything somewhat competitive. And I went to Vegas when we got swept in that series against the Knights and stuff. And I followed the team for a while. But I just want to say that I think that Blake got really lucky this year that we have a couple of these kids – like Durzi, who is a revelation, and I think he could become like a real superstar. That he got his career with the Kings, in my opinion. First of all, I'm not a Blake fan. I don't like how he handled a lot of things as a player with the Kings, and also bringing McLellan in. McLellan is not my favorite coach. You could argue it back and forth, but he hasn't won anything. So. I was really frustrated with that takeover from Lombardi. I mean, Lombardi made mistakes and gave a couple of sweet contracts, reward contracts to some people that he shouldn't have. But I was always curious if you guys knew, like, how that transition from the Lombardi regime kind of went down. Because I feel like kind of Blake and Robitaille, and I haven't been happy with upper management and how the Kings are running as an organization for a while, like, also with some of the social justice stuff, whatever. I mean, you can have 10 opinions about it. I just have mine. But, how did that transition come about? Did Lombardi just quit, or did he get sort of ousted a little bit? But my main point is Blake got really lucky this year. And this is the first year he made some really good moves. I loved the Deneau move. But looking overall, like, if this year wouldn't have happened the way it happened, and we were already on the way like out, October looked terrible. And then, so what I'm saying is like, he got really lucky. I hope he gets it together and adds a couple pieces, but basically burning through 5 years of the core and kind of like, I mean, Kopitar is slowing down. Brown's almost gone. He might have played his last game. So I don't want to be, like, too contrarian and just aggressive here. But, like, Blake for me is, like, got really lucky. I hope it works out. And we obviously have a ton of good players coming through the system. But, you know, one a year or two more of this, and I really would have wanted him to leave and, like, let somebody else take a stab at it. So, but I guess my question is just about this upper management change that happened with Lombardi, if you guys knew anything about it.
I mean, I don't really know much about it, but I appreciate you coming in with the hot takes. I love it. I don't really know too much about the Lombardi transition. I think it was more or less he was just kind of like made a couple big trades that he was kind of trying to limp this team that was really just kind of coming off of Stanley Cup hangover back into that form again. And so he kind of was forced into making moves. We talked about the Sequeira move, the Ben Bishop move. Kind of just, you know, that's the one that mostly frustrates me because losing Eric Cernak, that's huge.
Gabrick, what he's been able to do with
and giving that contract to Gabrick. And then the Lucic deal. Actually, I might be in the minority. I thought the Lucic deal was a good one, personally. I mean, yeah, you lose Martin Jones and Colin Miller, but I mean, it is what it was. But Lucic actually brought, and unfortunately, he didn't re-sign. But yeah, I mean, I think it was just kind of like time, really, for Lombardi. I don't really think there's really much else to say about that. Look, he brought two cups to the Kings that they hadn't won two cups, or they hadn't even won one before. So I think Dean Lombardi is someone that's always going to be idolized with the LA Kings franchise based off what he does. And I think management now, this year, I wouldn't say Rob Blake's just been lucky. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the team, the players and the development staff that he's been able to bring about to help players like Sean Durzi excel with the Kings. Look at it's just really cool to see players like Matt Green, Jared Stahl develop these young kids and become these players in the NHL. I mean, that's something that Rob Blake and Luke Robitaille have had direct hands on to keep these players and keep these guys on board so that they can help develop this team. And I wouldn't call it luck. I think that's been a really good decision. And I think the Philip Deneau move was something that Rob Blake, that's going to be something that could probably bring a cup or two back to LA going forward. You got something to add to that, Kiffin? You there, Kiff?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. You're cutting out a little bit. I must have missed it. No, it's probably on my end. I'll say I can't remember which someone who's maybe, you know, a little closer to the organization than I am for sure. Somebody tweeted a thread a few weeks ago. Russ, you may remember this, or who did it? I don't know, but about sort of what the last straw for ownership was for the Dean Lombardi era. And if I'm not mistaken, in that thread, they said it was basically the Sequeira trade was kind of it. But so that's kind of how I feel on that. But as far as luck, I mean, I'm all for the hot take, but I'll say really, I don't think Blake is lucky. Rob Blake has been drafting really well since he took over the organization. And you have to remember, we're in a full 82 game schedule for the first time since the 18-19 mm-hmm. season. Like, we're behind. We're behind on this transition plan. How we're playing this year should have been last year. I disagree with luck. I mean, again, I we wouldn't have Phil Deneau right now if that was the case. We may not have Phil Deneau if we had full years. But I don't see it as luck. I see a rebuild that went well. Do I think that Rob Blake is the greatest general manager of all time? No, definitely not. You know, and he's gonna misstep here and there, I'm sure. You know, for all that we all are very happy about the Troy Stetcher trade, it could backfire on us. You know, we could make that big blockbuster Lawson Kraus, Jacob Chychrun trade, and it could backfire on us. But I don't think we got here by luck. I think we got here by due diligence and good moves. So,
guys, we got an all-star in our midst. The one and only Mr. Jesse Cohen wants to add on to the topic. I'm sure he's got an interesting take on what's being talked about. What's up, Jesse?
Here for this.
You there, Jesse? Oh, it looks like he's – I don't know if he's maybe getting his mic together. I think Joe wants to add on to that. What's up, Joe?
Hey, yeah, I would like to say that with Rob Blake, let's not forget when we're talking about Sean Dursey and how good he's been, that was a Rob Blake acquisition. We look at what Trevor Moore has done in the season he's having, that is a Rob Blake acquisition as well. So I appreciate the fact that it doesn't necessarily have to be a, you know, again, Brendan Lemieux, that's an acquisition by Rob Blake. So I it doesn't always have to be, you know, hugs and everything like that, and everything Blake touches turns to gold type of conversation. But I do think the unluck is a little unfair, considering, again, like some of the players that we're talking about stepping in and filling roles, and Dursey was specifically mentioned, that, you know, that was an acquisition by Rob Blake. So, yeah. I just think that, he's done a pretty good job, if we're being honest. And kind of like I alluded to earlier, when the next test will be, can he make the big one to get him over the top? He's done a lot of nice things to get them to this point. Can he get them to a contender?
Yeah, absolutely. Jesse, if you're there and you want to chime in, be my guest. But yeah, just to kind of piggyback off what Joe said, yeah, those trades that he made with Toronto, look at those players that he brought in: Trevor Moore, Sean Dursey, Tobias Bjornfoot, Carl Grundstrom, all players that have really, really helped out with him. You there, Jesse?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys can hear me.
Are you at the game right now?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm at the rain game. There's 9 minutes left in the third. I just want to throw this out there because I think Rob Blake has done a tremendous job adding to this team, but he has gotten lucky in one regard, and that is that Vegas and Edmonton are not having the seasons that other people expected them to. There's a tremendous amount of disparity between the top teams and the bottom teams in the league this year. You look out in the East, their playoff rankings have been set for like a month now, and it's not going to change. Out in the West, if Vegas and Edmonton were having anywhere near the seasons people expected them to, and if Vancouver or Dallas were slightly better than they have been, the Kings would be in a neck-and-neck battle for a playoff spot. They might not even be, you know, considered a favorite to make it. So in that regard, he absolutely did get lucky. But as far as the moves he has made, I don't think it's somebody else mentioned this. Apologies, I didn't catch the name. But somebody else mentioned, like, I don't think it's luck when you consider Lemieux, Deneau, Arvidsson, Dursey, Moore, you know, even Spence now, right, has come up. Like, these are all Rob Blake moves that have all taken this team from one of the worst teams in the league to potentially a 100-point team. It's just out of the organization's control what the other teams around them do. And like I said, Vegas and Edmonton are not having great seasons based on their expectations. Anyway, that's it. That's all I got. I'm going to go back to the game.
Oh, I appreciate your input, Jesse. Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I mean, you look at what the Pacific has looked like this year. Yeah, Edmonton's kind of fallen off. I know a lot of analytics people had Seattle pegged as a 90-plus point team. I never envisioned that happening. I think they were just kind of trying to cover their butts from what happened with the Golden Knights. But yeah, you look at teams like Edmonton, Vancouver, who are really not really, I guess, playing up to their billing. I mean, yeah, you can talk a bunch about Edmonton's goaltending, Vancouver's defense. Maybe they weren't built to succeed. But those are teams with players that they have that should be playoff teams. So, Rob Blake, yeah, you could say he's been lucky this season. But in terms of building the team, I don't think it's fair to say that he's been lucky with that. I think they've built a really good team. You got something you want to add to that, Pavel?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Rob Blake has done a tremendous job with the rebuild. And a tad on what Jesse said, it's true. Like, the Kings have gotten incredibly lucky that the Oilers and Golden Knights have failed to meet expectations, making the Kings a sort of a playoff lock. And I mean, we're definitely ahead of schedule. I don't think anybody expected the Kings to be second in the Pacific. Not the analytics models. I mean, not even. I can tell you one thing for sure. I think for everybody, this is a complete shock that the Kings are so good at the way they are. And it's a huge thanks to Edmonton, Vegas, Vancouver, and all those teams for not living up to their expectations. And I do think Rob Blake has had his holes and he's had his issues, but he is a tremendous general manager and he's done a great job with the Kings. And I believe that if there's a general manager that I think could lead the Kings to the Stanley Cup, it's Rob Blake.
Yeah, for sure. Looks like, hold on one second. this Mr. Gabe Velarde's gold chain wants to add on. I believe he wants to add on to this topic. What's up, man? You there?
Yo, what's going on?
Mr. Gold
Chain. Yeah, what's up, man? What's up, man? Zach from Los Angeles Hockey Club Facebook page. I see a couple of my buddies listening in right now. You know, what's funny to me is a lot of people, you see a lot online, like the hate of Rob Blake and stuff like that. And I think it's because people, one, are impatient and whatnot, but I also don't think they're paying attention to the plan, because if you would have asked anybody, not people who are in the know and know or anything like that, but people who are paying attention, we didn't think the Kings were going to make the playoffs this season. And if they were, they were going to squeak into like the wild card spot. You know, I think that was expected, you know, so to sit here and say like Rob Blake has gotten extremely lucky, I really don't think he's been paying attention to the moves he's been making and the people he's been drafting, because he's been drafting extremely, extremely well. You know, I think almost all of his draft picks have been pretty spot on, besides maybe like, I don't know, like Turcotte's been injured a lot, whatever, you know. But, you know, one thing to me that really stuck out with Dean Lombardi, that I knew it was the end for him, is I can't remember who the interview was with, but he said, I knew how to build a winning team, I didn't know how to sustain it. And it showed through and through. You know what I mean? Like, our cupboards were bare. We had long albatross contracts that were just absolutely terrible. And I get it, man. Like, people look at it through, like, the rose-tinted glasses, you know? Like, oh, I love Dustin Brown, and I love Drew Doughty, and I love Rob Scuderi and stuff like that. And it's just like, yeah, man, but it's a business, too, and you want to keep winning. So, you know, I think a lot of people Eric Wallenberg is listening right now. Is it the state of the franchise in 2016? Is when Dean Lombardi said that. You know, I knew how to build a winning team, didn't know how to sustain it. So that was kind of, to me, like, I have no confidence in this GM anymore.
Yeah, and part of it, another one too, is the Marion Gabbert contract. That's another one that was kind of like, I didn't know. I mean, I don't remember the term on it, but it was pretty long, so I didn't really.
That was a big issue,
and it was just like.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and one thing that I really feel like Rob Blake may have messed up was trading Marion Gabbert for Dion Phaneuf. And the reason being, Marion Gabbert straight went to long-term injured reserve and never came back. You know, that would have been cap space that we could have used at the time. But, you know, that's pretty much
it. Yeah.
That's the only thing I can really think of that sticks out, that like, oh, Rob Blake fumbled that one.
Well, the Ilya Kovalchuk one, that might be one that we can talk about a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, that's another argument is how he was used with his time with L.A. But,
100%.
Yeah, you're kind of just trying to, I don't want to say force things, but just trying to get some get a little bit more life and get some more playoff aspirations to the team. But
yeah, and a lot of people were upset. You know, fans were upset voicing their opinions. I think season ticket sales were down and stuff. So, you know, I feel like he probably felt like he needed to do something, but – you know, that's something probably shouldn't have been signing Ilya Kovalchuk. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I was going to ask a question. I wanted to ask if, because I mean, we all saw the Connor Garland saga the yesterday, which 100% agree with you. But you know, if we're not going to make a trade for like a top line winger, you know, and I say in quotes top line winger because I really don't think Connor Garland is a top line winger, but you know, what about chasing someone like Philip Forsberg in free agency?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm all for that. I'll beat that drum all the way until July 1st or whenever free agency starts. I think Philip Forsberg, you look at what the team needs right now. It's a top-line sniper.
100%.
I mean, that's something the team has needed for a decade, I guess you could say. But, yeah, I mean, if Philip Forsberg is there – and available, I think the Kings have to figure out a way to get that contract to fit in the books, because that, I mean, it's going to be a hefty deal. You're talking about probably at least 8.5 mil, maybe even 9 mil for at least 5-6 years. And is he worth it? I absolutely think so.
Especially 100%.
especially with that chemistry that he has with Victor Arvidsson. Look at that thumbs down emoji or whatever that he shared once Arvidsson got traded last year. So I know. And Adrian Kempe, Arvidsson, and Forsberg all played on the same line together at the World Championships. I think it was in 2016 for Sweden. So, yeah, if the Kings have the availability and the cap space, that's somebody that they should definitely try to recruit. And I'm sure Victor Arvidsson will be the first person on the phone with Philip come free agency.
Oh, dude, I'd probably faint and probably have an orgasm at the same time, man. Sorry for being on BG.
You're not the only one. You're not the only Whoa. One. I'll probably join you in on that one. That'd be fun. Well, I appreciate that. Looks like I'm going for like an hour and 25 minutes.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, man. Looks like who? Royal Rant. You there, bud?
I'm here. This is Ryan from the Royal Rant. How you guys doing?
What's up, Ryan? How's it going, man?
Hey, did the Kings play yesterday?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, because I just saw a bunch of guys with golden lids skating around, shooting in, pumping in goals like there was no tomorrow. I wasn't sure if I was seeing what I was seeing.
Yeah, it was.
There were a bunch of guys dressed up like knights. I saw like an old lady playing nickel slots in that arena. It was a wild scene.
Do they have slots in that arena?
Everybody says it's great. I guess I should go check it out one of these days. I'm just hating on Vegas because that's what I do. That's my thing.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
Do have a serious question, though. Who do you think has better hair, Sean Dursey or Trevor Zegras?
Oof. Oh, man. I think Dursey's got the lettuce for that one. Those locks look pretty good.
I would agree. And, you know, it always takes 3 or 4 years to develop defenseman's hair, you know. It's at a premium.
I got to point out Dursey's hair, like, 2 years ago, foul. It was like a mohawk or I don't know what it was. It was disgusting. It was awful.
So this is another thing that maybe we can credit Rob Blake for. He got Dursey's flow game back in shape.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't expect us to talk about Sean Dursey's hair, but here we are. I love it.
Well, anyway, so actually, I guess I do have a real question. Let's see. Amongst these latest recalls from Ontario, Velarde, Ferk, Spence, Moverare, Rasmus Kupari, who do you think has maybe looked the best lately?
The best? That's a good one. I don't know. I would say just because of the situation, I would say it's Jordan Spence. No one expected Jordan Spence to be getting play time with the Kings this season. I mean, we talk about it and kind of joked about it at the beginning of the year with some of the injuries that happened to Doughty and Sean Walker. But I think since Sean Dursey's been able to step into the game and step into a vital role for the Kings, I mean, Sean Dursey was kind of like an afterthought in terms of just letting him keep developing in the AHL. So for him, and especially the type of game that he plays. I mean, he was playing in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, which is not known to be a good league in terms of development for NHL players. And that was just last season. He was playing with junior players. And now he's getting NHL playing time with the Kings and playing pretty well. I think he led the team in minutes with like 26 minutes the other day. So I think that's somebody that's kind of impressed me. I know Gabe Velarde's actually had a really good nice couple of games back. Rasmus Kupari had a goal in his first game back, and that's the player that I want to see play more on the wing. But I think you got to talk a lot about what Jordan Spence being able to do in terms of coming into the to play a vital role for the Kings these last couple of games. I mean, they haven't been playing that great as a team, but just be able to eat up some minutes for McClellan, I think that's been huge just recently.
Yeah, I agree. I think Spence has really opened some eyes. And I also think Rasmus, he's kind of come back. He looks, I don't know, he looks like a different player a little bit. Like, you know, something like he's maybe trying to take advantage of this this opportunity, or he's eating his Wheaties or something's going on. He looks different.
I 100% agree. And there was one point right before he got sent back down where he was taking the puck into the zone. He cut across the slot, and then he looked to defer the puck to one of his teammates. And then I was thinking to myself, as soon as that play happened, man, if he just throws that puck on net, something's going to happen. I think he needs to do that more. And sure enough, in his first game back, that's exactly what he did. Made a nice move into the slot and threw the puck on, and sure enough, it went in. So I appreciate Royal Rant. I'm going to move on to – or actually, looks like Kiffin and Pavel. Kiffin, you got something you want to add on to that?
Yeah, I wanted to put my 2 cents in there on Rasmus Kupari. I mean, I since his call back up with all the injuries and that, I mean, I was on the fence of, like, you know, if he's got to go, he's got to go. But I don't know. The last couple of games since the call up, I mean, he has just been flying around the ice. I can't look. I mean, I live in Texas, so I'm not at the games, but I mean, I can't look at my TV screen without seeing him on there when his line's on the ice. He is just he passes the eye test. He's just so there's so much more poise now since his call up. Like it's something was going on, I think, and he needed to just kind of take a minute to breathe. And maybe it's because of the depth of the Rain roster that he was able to kind of take a step back and say like, oh, I need to find my role. I need to this, that, or the other, whatever it was. I mean, he's really impressed since he came back. Yeah, I can't say enough good about Rasmus Kvari.
Yeah, and I wonder if the transition to the wing has really helped him. And that's something actually McClellan talked about in one of the press conferences. I forget which game it was after, maybe the Florida game. But we're starting to see Kvari, instead of taking the puck at defenders, he's starting to skate around defenders. And he needs to utilize that speed. And that's something that we were kind of hoping to see from Adrian Kempe when he was first up with the Kings. He wasn't using his speed a lot. He was trying to attack players and as opposed to going around them with that speed. So we're starting to see that a lot more from Kvari, and that's really good, and hopefully he continues that on the wing. You got Pavel, you got something you want to add to that?
I mean, I totally agree with Kvari. I think his confidence right now is through the roof. I mean, you saw that goal he scored against the Panthers where he went around the defenseman, put it on his back, and it just squeaked in by night. And I think that one, I think he went for that move, and once he pulled it off, he just knew that that was his move, and he's been trying to do that a few times now in the last couple of games. I mean, he tried it against the Panthers. I didn't get a chance to watch it against the Golden Knights, but I'm sure that he was flying out there. But the one guy that stood out to me since his call-up has been Gabe Vilardi. I think his two-way game has improved so much since he was sent down. And I mean, it was a huge issue last year was – you know, some of the positioning and, you know, stick work and all that. But coming back now, I think he's much more energized. He's been a far better two-way forward. And, you know, I think he's been playing with a little bit of physical edge as well as, you know, really speedy and crafty type of hockey. And I think he's definitely deserved a spot on this team. And if I have to be completely honest, if we're talking about a trade and we're looking to move one of Vilardi or Turcotte, I have more confidence in keeping Vilardi than I do with Turcotte.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if one of those players gets moved, but I think that's another player that the transition to the wing has really helped. I mean, when you think about the center position, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that, and maybe that's something that Vilardi wasn't really ready for it. Maybe that's not built into his game, and that's totally fine. I mean, look at what's happened with Rasmus Kvari. We just talked about him. It's helping his game right now, and maybe that helps Gabe Vilardi's game. But I think we should maybe bring in the guy who's been banging the Gabe Vilardi drum, Mr. Colin. What's up, Colin? You got something you want to add? Or you got a question?
Yes, sir.
What's up, man?
All right. So first I wanted to agree with the fact that Vilardi is much more reliable, and I definitely have a lot more trust in his future with the Kings than Turcotte. I agree with Pavel. I'm way more comfortable trading Turcotte. He just didn't show much. I wish he was a little more aggressive like he is in the AHL trying to take pucks, but he just looked a little lost out there, and I wish we had seen more from Turcotte, and I hope he can turn it around. But right now, Vilardi is the best prospect that has shown himself in the NHL over the last few years. He's the highest producer of all of them. And I think there's a problem, especially with Byfield, that there's a double standard. Byfield is often given a lot of leeway because he's the number one overall pick. Whenever he makes a mistake, it's just growing pains or whatever, but Vilardi gets sent down to the AHL. And I think Byfield needs to be treated with the same kind of retooling and development path that Vilardi went on. Like I tweeted the other day, that Byfield should go back to the AHL. He needs to develop a little more, gain some more confidence, and especially work on getting the puck deep. I mean, that's cliche, but he can't do it very well.
I think that's a good point because, I mean, I was actually I would have been okay with Byfield staying in the AHL all season this year. But I think that my tone kind of changed on that because of how well he was playing in the preseason. And then, unfortunately, he had that ankle fracture that took him out all the way till Christmas. And then he had COVID. And I don't know. Maybe you had a chance to kind of keep him in the AHL. But really, for a team like the Kings who are gunning for a playoff spot, I mean, who would be a better third line center for the team right now. There's not really that many options, I guess, for the team. So maybe
That's the only thing Byfield has, like, to stay in the AHL is that they're so invested in keeping Vilardi at wing that Byfield has to stay at center because we don't really have a 3C. Because they wanted to put Anderson Dolan at wing when he was there. I thought they should play him at center instead of Byfield right now, because I think last season we saw a lot of flashes of greatness with Anderson Dolan at center playing with Moore and Grundstrom. We were all super happy about how that line produced last year. They were one of our best last year. So I don't get why they changed Jad to wing, because I know they were very invested in seeing Byfield thrive behind Deneau and Kopitar. But I think Byfield just needs a little more seasoning and getting a little more confidence. And he seems to just do a little too much out there when he can make the simple play. But he tries to beat guys. He tries to deke past them. He plays like he's 5'9" when he's six five.
Yeah, and that's something that I think Byfield, once he learns to utilize that big frame that he has, he's going to be a force. And maybe he hasn't needed that to use that when he was in juniors. He could just use his speed that he has, so he didn't really need to utilize that frame.
He's just like not used to people shoving him off the puck all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So he's losing a lot of those puck battles, but I've been saying it. I think that's just growing pains. And if you want to thrust a 19-year-old into the NHL, this is kind of what you expect. So I'm not really disappointed with his production right now. Joe, you want to add on to that?
Yeah. So I mean, I'm a huge Gabe Vilardi fan, and I think anybody that's listened to Making It Rain or read anything that I've written at Hockey Royalty, it's that I think that the switch to wing and the move down to Ontario was exactly what he needed. And I think the difference between the comparisons to, you know, you talked about if Byfield has a few bad games, I do think it's a little bit different. Like Vilardi was kind of unfortunately thrust into playing 2C pretty much really early in his career that he clearly just wasn't ready for. But that said, he hasn't looked good as a center in the third line role either. I mean, Quentin Byfield is the best third line center option for this team right now. And I think it's a perfect scenario for him and for the Kings in his development, that they don't have to let him play second line center minutes and really be kind of, you know, hemmed in his own zone and struggle with production. But I think playing third line minutes, but still getting a taste of NHL hockey and seeing some, you know, playing those types of roles, he's getting a little bit of power play time at this point. But, you know, if they decided to keep him in Ontario, I would have been fine with it. But I do think this is a perfect spot for him and the Kings to play third center. And I think Vilardi should be in the NHL, and I think he should be on a wing somewhere, whether it's Byfield's wing or whether it's a top six wing. Sure. I love what he brings. I think he's great in the bumper role on the power play. He played it in Ontario. I thought he did a great job. So I think he brings a lot to the table as an offensive forward and as a winger. And it's okay. Like he struggled as a center to drive play. I think they recognized that and they made the move. With Byfield, I think I like them both, but I think Byfield, he is the best option for the Kings third center right now. And I think that's the reason he's up. And I think that's the reason he should stay up at this point. But again, love Vilardi. And I think the move to the wing is big. What I'll be interested to see is as guys get healthy, is he on his way back down? Or will he end up sticking? I guess that remains to be seen.
I have one more question for you, Russ.
Yeah, go ahead.
So about the right defenseman situation, we have a clog, as everyone knows. So this offseason, if you had to package one or two of them with a forward or just one of them, which ones would you be willing to trade? So it's obviously not going to be Clark or Doughty. Obviously, we know that. So would it be Roy? Would it be Dursey? Would it be Spence? Or would it be Faber?
That's a difficult question, and it's hard because you look at what Jordan Spence has done in the league. Matt Roy is just steady Eddie. He brings a really solid defensive aspect to the game, and that's something that the Kings might need in the future. And I don't know, it's hard. I will say maybe Jordan Spence Sean Walker's also still on the team. So that's probably, I would say that's probably the first player I would probably move, because he's got a lot of term. Not a lot of term. He's got a couple of years left on his deal, and there's a little bit of money tied to him as well. So if you're trying to bring in some bigger pieces, you're going to have to try to ship some money out, because the Kings, whether they like it or not, they're quickly becoming a cap team. So if you're going to have to start moving money out, I would say Sean Walker's the first one, the first name I would look at. Jordan Spence might have a lot of value right now because of what he's been able to do in the NHL just in his short time. I really like what I see from Bach Faber. Obviously, Brant Clark is going to be great. Sean Durzi's been a revelation for the team this season. So in terms of trying to make a move, I think in terms of trying to unclog a lot of that depth that you have on the right side, I think Sean Walker and maybe Jordan Spence is a name. Because you got to remember, another name, Helga Grounds is another name that's going to be coming up soon too. So it'll be tough to see, and that's something that Rob Blake will have to make a decision about. Joe, you got something you want to add on top of that?
The only thing I'll say to that is if Faber, he's not been a guy that's produced. Not to say that like he has to, but his production is not going to come at the NHL level when he turns pro. At least I wouldn't expect that to be the case. And there's people that have seen a lot more of Brock Faber than me, so you know, take that for what it's worth. But I don't know that you all of a sudden go from a modest point producer in college to all of a sudden you're somebody that's going to put points up. And not that that's everything, but I guess what I'm getting at is if you have all these other players, the Brant Clarks and you know, you just went through the list, and don't forget about Helge Grans in there too, that are, they project to be some pretty offensively talented players. So Brock Faber better be outstanding as a defensive defenseman, and at 6 foot, he's not necessarily going to be necessarily that physical presence. So I'm trying to see, and I'm not, that's not to say that I don't like the player, but if I'm looking at a crop of options of guys to trade, he's not going to be this elite offensive defenseman. Will he be that as a defensive defenseman? Maybe, but I kind of think Matt Roy is already that guy. If Brock Faber has a high trade value right now, and I'm obviously not a GM of other teams, so I don't know where how he's viewed elsewhere, but he's kind of the guy that I think I would turn to in this scenario. I just don't know what his ceiling is.
And I think he does have a lot of value in that respect, because everything I've heard about him is that Faber is a guy who's reliable on defense. Maybe not the most physical, but he's responsible. Mm-hmm. Like Roy, because Roy's not the biggest guy either. Like, he'll lay a body every once in a while, but he's super smart. And that's what Faber is. So Faber's definitely a guy you would consider trading, because he doesn't have the offensive output on defense that the Kings are looking for, like a Clark or a Durzi or possibly even a Grans. But so you might want to move. We obviously have to see Faber in the AHL later this season, because I believe he can turn pro pretty soon. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, exactly. And again, that's not to say that I dislike the player, but just considering the other guys around him and perhaps his perceived value with the Olympics, and we'll see how the end of the college season goes here, and then how he does as he turns pro in a few weeks. But that's I don't know, that's kind of why I lean on Faber, if you will.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, because we've only hyped up Brock Faber ever since the Kings have drafted him, because look at what he's done. World Junior, he's been Frozen Four with Minnesota, he's been leading that team, he's an Olympian now. I mean, there's a lot of accolades that are surrounding Brock Faber, and his name is only popping up, and maybe that's something that'll entice a team that needs a good right-shot defenseman in their prospect pool. So yeah, if we're talking trade, I mean, Brock Faber, that could be a big-name piece that the Kings attach, because of what, and I think a lot of it has to do with what Sean Durzi's been able to do with the Kings this season, because I think he's just kind of solidified a spot with the team now and going into the future. Guys, we've been going for an hour and 45 minutes. This has been awesome. I'm going to go ahead and end it. I really appreciate all the support. You guys are freaking awesome. I wouldn't be able to do all this, and all of us at Hockey Royalty wouldn't be able to do all this without all you followers. Just kind of speaking for everybody, I'm sure we really appreciate the following, and hopefully the Kings get healthy and we make a big playoff push toward the end of the season and make some noise in the playoffs. We'll see. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and end it right now. I'll try to get this up and uploaded and hopefully up shortly, and let's get some sleep, because who knows, maybe Rob Blake makes a big move tomorrow. So good night, everybody.
Forsberg will be an LA King by tomorrow.
I love it.
Thanks a lot, Russ.
Thanks for the rest.